This is the Ladbrokes Racing Channel. Keep up to date with all the latest racing news and previews at news.ladbrokes.com. And for all the latest odds, head to ladbrokes.com. Online, on mobile, and also on tablet.
Hello and welcome to this Aintree Grand National Meeting Day 2 preview. My name is William Geldart, joined in the studio once again by Ben Stones and Matt Mower. Well, just recovering from the first day, gents, and a couple of lines, a quick reaction from you. Obviously, two reputations partially restored at least, Silvagnaco Conti and Jezky. Ben, I'll go to you first. Paul Nicholls himself has said that, yeah, fair enough, this is his track. And would you go along with that after today's display?
Well, I don't think you can. There's no argument against it, really. You know, Nicholls has said he doesn't go to Cheltenham now. He sort of admitted that. The tracks like Aintree are the place for him, and the performance he put in today was fantastic. You know, he jumped big at a lot of fences. He took off early. He saved a lot of ground. He travelled well. He fought out that finish really well as well, with Ballinagore coming on strongly and that typical AP McCoy drive, rousting Hollywell along. But it was just good to see. You know, we had our worries after Cheltenham that the horse, that there might have been something up, perhaps. That performance wasn't particularly great, but it was just good to see him back to his best, and I'm sure there'll be many more big days for this horse.
Yeah, absolutely. That's back-to-back bowls for Silvagnaco then. And Matt, going to you, Aintree hurdle winner Jezky, obviously coming under a dry, typical McCoy drive at the end anyway, getting to close to Arctic Fire, having a heavy fall. Do you think that's a fair result?
Yeah, to be honest, I think Arctic Fire probably would have won. But you never know. Under a typical McCoy drive, you might have got there ahead of him. It would have been close anyway. But yeah, it was a nice ride, nice performance. I was a bit concerned actually when he was held up at the back, because I would have liked to see him go off with Rock on Ruby and try and set a strong pace and outstay them all. But yeah, very good performance.
All right, well, congratulations to all the connections of Aintree Hurdle winner Jezky. Let's go into day two then, and we'll start with the first of the four races we're going to look at, the 250, the Mildmay Novices Chase. A few familiar names. We'll start with you, Ben. Safi Duro, the likely favourite, short enough, isn't it, around 6-4. Paul Nicholls, the charge, going back to chasing. Of course, second in the World Hurdle, Cleve Hurdle winner this season as well. Now going back over fences. Fowler in his last outing over the larger obstacles, the Quarter Star Novices Chase on Boxing Day. What do you think the thinking is behind this one?
I mean, after last season, he had some really good runs over hurdles, but he's always looked a chaser. Paul Nicholls has always sort of suggested that. The few runs he's had this year over the larger obstacles were largely disappointing, despite the fact he won once or twice. I think if he runs like he did in the Cleve Hurdle and in the World Hurdle, where he put in two very solid performances over the smaller obstacles, if he replicates that back over fences, he will be tough to beat. Paul Nicholls has said that the good ground will suit him. I would have a slight worry, like you say, a relatively short price about this horse. I think it, on his best, he'll take all the beating, but after a couple of below par performances over fences, I would perhaps be wanting to take him on with something at a bigger price.
Okay, and one of those might be Irish Saint. Matt, I believe that was your first nap on our program, on your debut. Well done. Obliging in the Pendle Novices at Kempton, two starts ago, fourth in the JLT, the festival, but no real disgrace there. Is Irish Saint one of the ones you'd be leaning towards?
I'm a fan of the horse. I think he ran well enough in the JLT, and the tour was obviously magnificent that day, but I'm not sure I'd buy him as a genuine three-miler. He's classy and he travels well, but when he gets into deep water and comes off the bridle, I'm not sure what he's going to find. I actually sort of think Safi Duro is probably the only one in this as I buy, like, as a genuine sort of staying grade one chaser. Obviously, the couple of falls you've got to forgive, but you've got to remember one of those falls, he was up against Coney Gree, who was obviously turned out to be a really good horse, a Gold Cup winner. And I mean, he tried to go with him and he put his jumping right under pressure and he fell, which I think sort of fair enough. The other one was, you've got to forgive him, definitely, but I think if he stands up, he wins here. Nichols has obviously always said he's going to be a chaser in the future, and I can actually see him next year. It'll be interesting to see, because obviously he's not a novice anymore, which route he goes down, but I can see him in the future definitely running in a Gold Cup.
Okay, let's have a look at a few of the others as well. A few mercurial types, like you said, Safadira, maybe the one with the proven class, there's distance. Ben, I think when you've had a look at Carrigmore, BRSA second, Southfield Theatre in a Grade 2 contest at Newbury in the winter. Had a few mishaps since then before a winning return at Exeter last time out. Is this one of the ones on your radar?
Yeah, definitely. This horse is about 14, 16 to 1, something like that at the moment. And he's a real all or nothing kind of performer. So you are taking a risk with that. He has been frustrating at times. But as you say, you know, he beat Southfield Theatre at Newbury, and that horse has gone on to do good things. But then he was pulled up in January, and he was off for 2 months. So, I mean, he was pulled up in that race. That was on heavy ground at Haydock, I think it was. So you could perhaps say that ground went against him. Back at 3 miles at Exeter last time, that race, he really pulled like a train out in front. But he came through, you know, so he pulled away from the horses chasing on the bridle, and he looked really, really smart. Dunraven Storm was behind him that day. He was his market rival, and he fell, but he was well beaten at the time. And I think if he puts it together on this ground, I think he's a real battle-hardened stay. I think he will be one that will fight out in the finish. And I think he could be the each-way play for this race. Such an Irish saint, I agree totally with Matt. I think this horse, over 2.5 miles on soft ground, I would really like him. But over 3 miles, I think there's going to be stronger stayers in this race.
Okay. Matt, you want to answer back on that?
Yeah, just a quick word for another one. I think at an each-way price, Irish Cavalier could be worth a look as well. I'm looking at Irish Saint and Carol's Destrier, and I think they've both got holes in them. He won the Barbados Restaurants Chaps Handicap, or whatever it's called now, at the festival. And he was fifth going over the last that day, and really, really stayed on well up the hill to, you know, win it in the end. So I think the step up and shit will really suit. So sort of like 14 to 1 mark worth a look at, yeah, definitely.
Okay, good stuff. Well, stepping down in trip for the Melling Chase, 3:25 over 2 mile 4. Some big names in this one. Champagne Fever, obviously, we're all disappointed when he missed out on his festival tilt. Comes to Aintree for a pretty tricky assignment, 5-2. Do you think that's a fair reflection, or is that a bit too skinny for you guys?
For me, it's too short. Yeah, as you say, at Cheltenham, I was disappointed he didn't run in the Champion Chase. I think Matt was too. I think we both agreed that he would have been our bet for that race. But in this race, I know there's a lot of horses that got questions to answer, but you got some quality animals. I think there's 6 Grade 1 winners in this race. I mean, Champagne Fever, I think he's a 2 miler. I know they try stepping up in trip. We spoke about this before. And I think over 2.5 miles, there might be something that catches him out for stamina. I think when he fell at Thurlers behind Don Cossack looked like he had him beaten. That was over 2.5 miles. Champagne Fever is 5-2. Don Cossack is 4-1. I think he was as big as 5-1 earlier in the week, which I think is out of the two, that would be outstanding value. But it's a real tricky race for punting, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Don Cossack, Ryanair third, colours lowered maybe a little, but given what we know about his performance, Champagne Fever before, definitely looks the better price. Let's have a look at a few of the others, mentioning those big names, likes of Alpha Roth. Can he be the horse he's sort of threatened to be at times? Border Success, winner at Aintree last year, ahead of the reopposing Simply Ned, 7th in the Ryanair. And then you've got the likes of Q-Card, who I think we discussed in a previous podcast. You tend to both agree with each other that he's bottomed out. And of course, Cider Grugy. So how do we weigh up the rest of these big names in the field?
Yeah, well, I was with Don Cossack earlier on in the week, but I've actually changed my mind and I've gone for Alpha Roth now. I think going fresh, he could put up a really good performance here. Obviously, I was really impressed with him in the King George when he finished third, and I think this is his ideal distance. I know they're really keen for him to get 3 miles, but I think 2.5 at a strong pace will really suit him. He beat Summersby back in November by 7 lengths. I think that was over 2 miles on his reappearance. And he's obviously gone on to finish second in the champion chase, so that looks like good form. But yeah, best of the rest, I think Boulder Success, yeah, he's a good horse, and I was really impressed with him at this meeting last year, but I sort of feel that he's a bit of a small field bully, like that champion chase performance, Ryanair, wasn't it? I mean the Ryanair. I sort of felt he got lost a little bit back in the field, didn't know what to do when he was put under pressure. So I think up against some good horses here, a lot of which are going to look to make the running, he could struggle. Side of Grugy, I think he had a really hard race in the champion chase. I'm not sure if he's ready yet. I think he'll need a bit of time off, especially with the setbacks he's had this season. Q card, as you say, I think that horse is finished, unfortunately. So, yeah, Alpha off for me.
Okay, yeah, Side of Grugy, big enough, isn't it? Going to be around 7-1. Maybe a fair reflection, given what you've just said. Let's go then to 4 or 5, the Topham Grade 3 contest, 2 mile 5 over the national fences. Let's look at the top of the market then. You've got the likes of Manatare sharing joint favouritism about around 8-1 with Rajani Express. Manatare obviously second in the stable plate behind Dana, who's a 14-1 shot with us. Martin Pipe's had a couple of winners in this renewal. What do you think of the potential in this one for his son David?
I mean, this horse has done really well since he's come over from France. He's run 3 times. He's been in the first 3 on all of those occasions. David Pipe's a man you've got to pay attention to in these handicaps. He's done absolutely nothing wrong, and you can see him running a big race. But, I mean, you're going to need plenty of luck in these types of races. So I think 10-1 is probably a fair price, but I like going for one at a big price. So I think I'll be probably giving it a swerve.
Okay, and Matt, one I know you're keen on, Eastlake. Obviously second in the Grand Annual, 3rd in this last year, and you're still keeping the faith with that one?
Yeah, definitely. I'm still keen on Eastlake. He's a bit slow over a couple of his first fences at Cheltenham, and I think that run will actually will come on for that. He's never won over further than 2 miles, but that wouldn't put me off, as we saw in the Grand Annual. No, he put in a really good performance there, and I think he's more than capable of winning a big race like this.
Okay, let's have a look at a few of the others then. Reuben Cotter is an interesting one for Paul Nichols and Sam Twiston Davis. Silver Bowl winner recently, marked a decent upturn in form. Dana, I mentioned earlier, 33-1 winner of the stable plate. I don't know if any of you are expecting that form to be franked. And a few of the others, Benny's Mist, I think we've spoken about before. Ben and likes of, you've got Hunt Ball. Okay, he's probably bombed out a bit. Come back, 12th in this last year. Aintree winner before Christmas, though. And then Splash of Ginge as well. I know didn't do great in JLT, obviously 7 of 8. But there's a few interesting names amongst that. Any that either of you have picked out?
Yeah, as you say, Benny's Miss was obviously second in this race last year. And Eastlake's probably waited to reverse the form between the two of those. Eastlake obviously 3rd. So I think Benny's Miss can go well again. He's about 20-1 shot. The one I like is Anacotti at 33-1. This horse won Feltham over 3 miles, but he's since sort of struggled to really put it with the rest of them at 3 miles. So they've dropped him back in trip a couple of times this season. He's done really well. He won a competitive handicap at Cheltenham on Festival Trials Day. He's £5 higher for that win, but I think he's only a 7-year-old, so there could still be more improvement from this horse. They got the blinkers back on after they had a spell in cheek pieces. I think he wore the blinkers in that Feltham win. So I'm hoping that sort of springs some life back into this horse. And at 33-1, he's worth a chance. A couple of others, like you say, Poolmaster is a winner over these fences. So I think that's the sort of profile perhaps you've got to look at in this race if you're not taking a punt on one in a bit of hope, I suppose.
Okay. The final race on the card we're going to look at is the 440, the Sefton Novices Hurdle. Horses with questions to answer has been a sort of prevailing theme in these podcasts for Aintree, and this is another one. Barring perhaps Manila Rocco, Miss Cheltenham, market leader, but previously tearing it up the likes of Newbury and Kempton, I think it won a point-to-point pretty impressively as well. Going to be in the hands of AP McCoy. And then you've got below that, as we said, horses who do need to bounce back, like Vita de Rock, 4th in the Neptune. Perhaps nothing too unexpected about that kind of position in the race. Game enough, good enough to land a grade one over this distance?
I'm not sure how strong a grade one this race is, but like you say, there's a whole lot of horses that have got questions to answer. Manella Rocco has been very impressive on his last, on his two starts under rules. He's 3 from 3, in all, you know, including a point-to-point win. He's not been tested on any ground better than soft yet, though, so it'll be interesting to see whether he comes good on a sounder surface. And I'm not sure if he's beaten anything of note other than that perennial Dodgepot West Wizard. But, I mean, Vito de Rock, that horse made a real bad error at the last in the Neptune, and I think picked up quite well again to close the gap somewhat. I don't think it's that far back behind Windsor Park at Cheltenham. But the one I like is Thomas Brown for Harry Fry. Now, this horse was pulled up in the Albert Bartlett, and I think that race was a real scrappy race. You know, a lot of them got caught out by conditions, and I just don't think it was that great a race. But before that, he'd run a really bad race on heavy before, so I think perhaps maybe it's the ground that found that horse out. And with on a better surface, he should do well. He won a race at Cheltenham over 2.5 miles, and that form looks rock solid. The horse in third, Zero Shades of Grey, was only beaten 3/4 of a length in a grade two at Donny. Different Gravy was 10 lengths back and forth. That horse went on to win a listed race really nicely. And As to Me, that horse was 13 lengths back in eighth, and that went on to win the EBF final, that grade three handicap at Sandown on the Saturday after Cheltenham. So that form looks rock solid. So I think on a decent ground, this horse could be one to bounce back and put in a good performance at a decent price.
Matt, you want to jump in there? Have you got any answers to the questions we've all been asking?
No, I'd agree. I agree with you. I think I'd sort of be swerving a lot of the Neptune and Albert Bartlett contenders who I think had difficult races at Cheltenham. But I do agree with Ben. I really like Thomas Brown. That form from Cheltenham has worked out really well, and he looks like a really classy type. Sees out his race as well. One I think is quite interesting, one of the Irish Raiders, Mouse Morris horse, is Alpha Desobo. Chased home Duvan at Punchestown over 2 miles, and I think he got within 3 lengths of him, which is turning out to look like very good form. Missed Cheltenham, so I think he'll go well fresh, and yeah, looks like a solid bet around 16-1.
All right, thanks very much. And it's that time again. I'm going to have to push you both in for your best bet of the day. A few sighs here, exhaling. If you can, from those four races, I don't know, I'm not going to push you in any direction, but Ben, give us your best bet.
After today's efforts, I'm not sure people are going to want to hear my best bet, but Thomas Brown each way probably in the Grand Sefton.
Okay, so I got Jezki in today, so I'm going for 2 from 2, just in case you were wondering. I think Safi Daru will win, but he's short enough, so I'm going to put up Alpha Roth. I think this is his ideal distance, and he goes well fresh in quite a competitive field. I think he could be the value.
All right, brilliant stuff. Thanks very much for that, and thanks for listening. Don't forget, head to news.ladbrokes.com for all the latest betting news and tips, and of course head to ladbrokes.com online, on mobile and on tablet for all the latest odds. Good luck with your bets on day 2, and we'll catch you again next time.